Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
Now a treat for you this Easter Sunday morning. John Spillane is a poet, a storyteller, a songwriter, a musician and a Cork legend. But listening to the themes of his latest album, the word bard might be the best description of all. Well, John and his longtime collaborator Pauline Scanlon are here in Studio 8 of the RTE Radio Centre. I'm going to chat with them shortly, but let's start with a song. This is We Come in the Wind.
Only once upon a silver moon we sailed for seven summers through many dreamlike islands in the dark blue sea. The island of the promises, the island of the women, the island of the longing, the island of the strong. Once upon a silver moon we sailed. We come in the wind. Following the wind of seven winters, we went for the west, we went for the land of promise, for the land of the fair, the island of the apple trees, the island of the pleasures, the laughing and the mocking, where we left one friend behind. Then we raised one silver sail and we climbed. We come in the wind. Come in the wind, we leave in the wind. Go tell my lady, go tell my love, we sail with the tide. And found ourselves adrift under a sky of endless velvet blue. And the stars, a million trillion galaxies sailing for eternity. And the stars, and endless choirs of angels fill the midnight air with the phosphorescence of their radiant prayer. And a paradise of birds, and the ravens in the dark, and the radiance of the moon. Just once upon a silver moon we sailed. We come in the wind, we leave in the wind. We come in the wind, we leave in the wind. Go tell my lady, go tell my love, we sail with the tide. Only once upon a silver moon we sailed for seven seasons through many dreamlike islands in the dark.
And that was We Come in the Wind, the first single from the brand new album from John Spillane, performed live for us today here in our Studio 8 at the Radio Centre by John, accompanied by Pauline Scanlon. Good morning to you both and a very happy Easter.
Happy Easter, Miriam. Banachtina Koska or of Galer.
Mina Briggs, it's so nice to see two living beings in a studio. So unusual.
I know, it's brilliant.
John, that song, it's from your album, 100 Snow White Horses. Tell me about the song and the story behind it first.
Thanks so much, Miriam. Yes, the song We Come in the Wind is loosely based on the three Imrams of Irish literature, the Voyage of Bran, the Voyage of Maeldun and the Voyage of St. Brendan. There's a theme of mythology, poetry and wonder running through this record, 100 Snow White Horses. And I think a lot of people in Ireland are not familiar with Irish mythology at all, really, because when I say the Voyage of Bran, most people don't know the story, but it's the most beautiful story. These are wonder voyages. The nearest thing you could call in English literature would be the Voyage of Sinbad the Sailor, which is an Arabic similar version, and Imram as well. Imram is an Irish word which means rowing a boat.
And you make it fascinating. You love mythology, don't you? I mean, it's part almost of who you are right now.
Yeah, well, I like to read books by Robert Graves and by Joseph Campbell, books about mythology, and it's kind of almost religion, really. You know, it's a bit one step away from it. But Ireland is full of it, and there's goddesses cropping up all over the landscape on my journeys. I was in Palace Green, County Limerick. There's Grianna, she's a goddess. 10 miles away, you've Áine in Connacht Áine. She's a sun goddess. Éire, Banba, Fola. So it's all about the women at the moment, Maria.
Great. Good to hear that, John. And listen, how much of this is something, I suppose, you learned academically, and how much of it just comes from your years of travelling the roads, singing and telling stories?
Yeah, well, I suppose I did a gig in Mohill, County Leitrim, and I discovered O'Carolan lived there. The most beautiful statue in Ireland is of the blind harper at the bottom of the town in Mohill. So everywhere you go, you come across the local stories. And I suppose it's an interest. It's because I'm a Gael goer as well, and I'm into Irish trad music. So I see Ireland really like an enormous board game, like a kind of Game of Thrones kind of situation, where you dig down and you find layers of mythology and, you know, stories and stuff.
But I love your enthusiasm for it. Like, you have never lost a moment of your enthusiasm.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Miriam. That's
no,
so
but
nice.
You haven't. I've been lucky to interview you down the years, and you're always enthusiastic.
Well, I can't help it.
It's great.
But thank you so much. And it's such an honour to be on this programme on Easter Sunday morning. Like, what a great buzz. And to have Pauline here. Thank you, Pauline.
You're welcome, John.
And you two love playing together, don't you? You've, like, down the years, Pauline, yourself and John.
We've loads over the years. I suppose we probably, maybe in 1999 or 2000, I was blown Cláiste Stefán Naefa. Doing the music management and sound engineering course down there. And John came in doing songwriting workshops. And very shortly after that, we started kind of singing together. And we now have just a little buzz going on between us. And it's great. I love it. I also love the enthusiasm, Miriam.
Yeah. Is he always like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't look put on, actually.
No, it's not. It's not. It's great. It's great. I'll crack. Brilliant.
We went to Australia twice on big tours. Exile, Songs and Tales of Irish Australia, which was the best tour of all time, really.
Absolutely, hands down.
Yeah, folk heaven, we called it.
Why was it so great?
Well, there's something about Australia and the sunshine and it was so warm, swimming in the ocean, singing with beautiful indigenous Australian musicians, actually, and Irish Australian musicians. Yeah. Something great spirit in those people.
Great spirit, and there's great solidarity and just a kind of an understanding between us and Shane Howard, who was in charge or who put that project together. His people are from the Silvermine Mountains and emigrated to Australia, and they live in Sheehy Road, and there's just a real Irish vibe there, and that just marries very well with Aboriginal Australia. It's a beautiful thing.
Hopefully when this pandemic is dead, you'll be going back there, will you?
We will.
We will, yeah. You know, I came back from Australia, and all the talk, you know, with the blackfellas in Australia was about the rainbow serpent. It's one of their big mythologies. The rainbow serpent represents the rainbow, but also all the river networks, all the streams and wells. And I came back anyway, and the first gig I had was in Gaelscoil, Nós Nari. And all the kids in the Gaelscoil in Nace, they had a serpent on their jumper, a big blue snake, which was wrapped around a high cross. And I said, what's with the snake, lads? Like, it was like the serpent. Yeah. And that led to a whole other world then of the serpent being the symbol of County Kildare and the Nace. And Bob Quinn from Connemara, his theory that St. Patrick never drove out the snakes because there was no snakes. What he drove out was the yoga, the rival religion, which was Eastern religion, which was Kundalini yoga. So one thing leads to another, Australia to Nace and...
yoga.
Yeah.
You sound sceptical.
I am a tad, Miriam, I won't lie.
And listen, a little birdie told me, John, that you had a very early start in mythology playing one of the swans in a rock production of The Children of Lear.
Yeah, that's right. What put me on the stage was a teacher in my school called The Doc, who did a big rock musical every year, Cláiste an Spreadneve in Bishopstown, Cork.
What was his name, the teacher's name?
The Doc, Tony Doherty.
Okay.
And we did a production of The Children of Lear by Brian O'Reilly. He had a band called Loudest Whisper in Fermoy long ago. And I was actually one of the Children of Lear. And this new album is called 100 Snow White Horses, which is very Tuatha Dé Danann and very Irish fairies. And we just got 9 out of 10 in the Hot Press review, Miriam,
with the
new album. So really pleased at the moment.
Yeah, you're really proud of it, and rightly so. I also read somewhere that you described this album as a set of love songs to the island of Ireland. What made you feel that we deserved some love songs?
Robert Graves now, who's an English poet that I'm a big fan of, he says what makes Ireland different from other countries is, one, that we had professional schools of poetry here for many centuries, you know, the bardic schools, and two, that the old religion of the goddess still survived in Ireland, you know, the Our Lady and the moving statues and these goddesses which are cropping up now. Like I just read that what Barack Obama said, if you want to be successful, what you have to do is surround yourself with brilliant women. So that's what I'm doing at the moment now with Colleen Scanlon, Marie O'Callaghan, my manager Kira, my PR lady Emma. Ireland has always been a woman in the bardic view. So I'm trying to resurrect a kind of a bardic model as a business model. So I'm getting people to commission me to write songs about their local mythologies. And sometimes I have to kind of commission them to commission me, you know, to get them, to teach them the model. So yeah, Ireland is a woman and deserves the songs, yes.
You're not performing it live for us this morning, but I'd still love a taste of another track from the album. It's called The Dawn Chorus, and it ends on a beautiful recitation of birds' names and descriptions. Can you recall it and say it for me?
Of course, Miriam. I'd be delighted.
With all its heart and holds nothing back. The turtle dove sings for free. The blackbird sings best from her nest in the blackthorn tree. Without them, there is no music. The skylark and the meadowlark, the chaffinch, the chiffchaff, the greenfinch and the goldfinch, they sing for all they are worth. Song thrush, mistle thrush and the wren, the king of all birds. Enchanted cascades of brilliant liquid melody pour from the bullfinch, the crossbill, the goldcrest and the firecrest, the hawfinch, the linnet and the rosefinch, wood warbler and willow warbler, blackcap, dunnock, garden warbler, the redstart, the redwing, the blue throat, the fieldfare and a nightingale pouring her liquid notes out over the river in the morning. Stonechat, windchat, house sparrow, tree sparrow, hedge sparrow, woodlark, skylark, meadowlark, the mountain lark that sings away the dark. For sheer joy, they sing the dawn. Without them, there is no music.
It's a magnificent song. Do you love, John, how much attention people, I suppose, have paid to our natural environment and things as simply beautiful as the Dawn Chorus during this year of enforced lockdown? Maybe it's one of the good things that's come from it.
I think a return to nature is definitely one of the good things that has come to it, and the lack of planes in the sky. And, for example, I have a song called The Dance of the Cherry Trees, and it got more airplay last year in 2020 and this year than it ever got before. So everybody's suddenly noticing the cherry blossoms and the song is back.
Oh, it's still such a beautiful song. And we can't mention it without you playing some of it. Will you play some of it now?
Yeah.
Let me tell you about the cherry trees. Every April in our town, they put on the most outrageous clothes and they sing and they dance around. Hardly anybody sings or dances. Hardly anybody dances or sings in this town that I call my own. You have to hand it to the cherry trees. They seem to be saying to me anyway, you know we've traveled all around the sun. You know it's taken us one whole year. Well done, everyone. Well done. Cherry blossom in the air. Cherry blossom on the street. Cherry blossom in your hair. And a blossom at your feet. You know we've traveled all around the sun. You know it's taken us one whole year. Well done, everyone. Well done. On behalf of me and the cherry tree. Well done. You know me, sometimes I think I'm getting old, not as young as I used to be. so it means even more to me to see the dance of the cherry trees. They seem to be saying, is it only to me? You know we've traveled all around the sun. You know it's taken us one whole year. Well done, everyone. Well done. You know we've traveled all around the sun. You know it's taken us one whole year. Well done, everyone. Well done. On behalf of me and the cherry trees, well done.
Absolutely love that. It's so beautiful. Pauline, you probably have lost count, have you, of the times this fella has called you up over the years to work on an album or do a live gig?
I have. We've done an awful lot of road together. And I guess for me, first and foremost, well, John and I are pals, but I'm a huge fan. I love the songs and I love the songwriting more than any other songs that I know. And I think we have a love of traditional songs as well and a love of poetry and language and that kind of thing that we share. But ultimately, I think with John, I'm a fan more than I am a collaborator, I think.
And of course, for the past year, it's been tough for everyone. I know, I think you live in a community in Galway just north of the city with your partner, Eamon, who's also in the music business. It's been a very tough time for so many people, but especially for people in the music business, hasn't it?
It has. And I mean, we swing between, you know, despair and days and weeks of immense productivity. Just recently, my husband, Eamon, he got up in the morning and he was booking things in the future and booking tours and booking this. And then by the end of the day, he'd cancelled everything again. So I think it's just a matter of settling down within yourself and just recognizing that it will be over. And, you know, at the moment, I'm trying to view it as an extended holiday.
Anyway, you're probably kept busy because your 3-year-old daughter, Kitty.
Yeah,
she's probably kept you busy.
She has kept me busy. And it's been brilliant to be able to spend time with her. And just as John, you were talking about nature and that. And I remember when it started last year, everybody was talking about how loud the birds were. And we've just done nice stuff with her and been out in the garden. And we're setting spuds at the moment and converting a van into a camper van and just trying to have a bit of crack, really.
And of course, the pause, it's allowed for a focus on other things. And you've been to the forefront of campaigns like Fair Play. I know that for some time. And it argues for gender balance in trad and folk music. It's been a really important issue over the past year, hasn't it?
It has. And I think within the music industry, I think this year really gives us an opportunity to reset. And when we come back to work, to make it fairer and to look at things like dignity and respect. And I guess we're looking across the arts now and there's lots of different women's groups doing lots of work. And I think the challenge now is to join them all together and so that we're all one big wave rather than everybody off in their factions doing things. So that's something that we're looking to do.
And you must be happy to see the success of, you know, these campaigns. It has increased the amount of music by Irish women artists on radio and TV.
Absolutely. And fair play to Linda Coogan Byrne and Why Not Her and all the work that they've done. And it really is making a difference. And it's a lot of work and it's a lot of unpaid work that women do as well, which is, you know, which we need to look at too.
I'm wondering though, Pauline, will the real test be when I suppose we get back to live music and festivals and we see just what the billings and the lineups look like?
Absolutely. And I mean, there's different ways of looking at it. You know, we need to see women's names in bigger writing further up the bill. And there's all sorts of ways of looking at it. And it's also the treatment of people when you are there, you know. And there was movements like Misha Foster, which looked at sexual harassment and assault in the workplace. And as independent artists, we don't have HR, so we don't have really anywhere to go with that. So it's looking at how, as a community and a collective, we can address that also.
And John, I know you have been very supportive to Fair Play events and concerts.
Yeah, well, it was a big eye-opener when you saw these pie charts that came around last year of the amount of women played on the radio and on so many radio stations with zero.
Zero.
You know, it was just, what? I mean, I think, like, you have to adjust to that and then get your head around it. and move forward. But I know quite a lot of women in the Fair Play movement, and, you know, I think it's brilliant.
John's manager, Kira, actually, is one of our girls, and we had a meeting down in the Opera House in Cork, and there was Nigel Grofferty and yourself, two great Cork men, came along and came to the meeting and have been working with us the whole way along, so that's also really appreciated.
How am I not surprised to hear that about John's plan?
I know.
Yeah. And Pauline, your next project, it's a tribute to women, including your late mum Eileen.
That's right. After I came out of the Fair Play movement, or I'm still in it, but after the first couple of years of it, I began to think about the traditional material that I was singing and how would I relate that to the lives of modern women. So since my mother's journey on this earth had moved on, I took her life and I've broken it down to 10 stages and researched traditional songs to attribute to each stage of her life so that I can contextualise old songs and relate them to modern women, I guess.
You've both had to crowdfund for your projects, you, John, via Fundit, and Pauline via Kickstarter. John, is this the normal way now that you have to raise the money for your own records? And I think you feel quite positive about it, don't you?
Yeah, I found it to be a great experience. You build a community around the album. You offer rewards. You're not going cap in hand to anybody. You know, you offer anything from a download to a gig to, you know, lots of different rewards, signed books and all kinds of stuff. I did it largely on Pauline's advice, who had done it before and found it to be very positive. So it's very good. I mean, I was lucky enough to have a run with the record companies at one time. And but that model seems to be broken now. So now it's more like a cottage industry. It's going really well.
And that sounds great and it's positive. But you're super talented, John. You're very well known. You've written a lot of very well-known songs. Should you really have to do schemes like Fundit at this stage? I mean, is there something wrong in the whole shape of the music industry right now?
Well, I'll tell you, the music industry, it's a crazy industry. You know, I mean, like, is it an industry at all? I mean, is there any industry regulation of any kind? So you have to make it up as you go along. And I think if you get a good run at all in the music, you have to be grateful for it. Mm-hmm. And it's always going to be a learning curve. The old model of, you know, being discovered, being signed, being a star, you know, that also involved being dropped and being hurt by an awful lot of people. And I meet a lot of people around Ireland who were very damaged by the old model. This is more like a cottage industry where you're an independent label of your own. So I'm finding it very freeing.
That's really interesting. And for you too, Pauline.
Absolutely. And I mean, being signed as well isn't any guarantee that there'll be capital or enough capital to try and make the album that you want to make. And also, you know, with people streaming more music, and it's all changed where the money comes from and how it's generated. And I think I found the Kickstarter experience really positive because you get to kind of get a little look into who's listening to you and what they like about you. And it's a way of connecting with people who are into your music. And I think that's just a really nice thing, just on a personal level as well, you know.
That's actually really positive. John, do you love what you do as much as you did, say, 40 years ago? I know in the RT guide recently you said you turned 60, you still look about 40. But I mean, do you love what you do as much, or do you love it even more?
I love it even more, and it's a great way to celebrate turning 60 by releasing this deadly album, this killer album, 100 Snow White Horses, releasing these white horses into the Irish mindscape, into the landscape of the mythology of the country. So I think it's my finest work. We're going to go out in a blaze of glory, Miriam.
You're not going out anywhere, by the way. But you're really proud of this new album, aren't you? 100 Snow White Horses.
I am, you know, and it's my album, but it's actually me and Pauline's and John Reynolds' album.
So gracious.
We recorded it in London 2018, 2019 and 2020. So I see it as a team effort. I mean, I wrote the songs and I am the lead vocalist, but there's an awful lot of Pauline, multi-layered Pauline. As somebody said to me, weren't you very clever to use the Irish fairies on your record? Pauline represents the Tuatha De Danann, the fairy voices, you know, of the landscape. And then John Reynolds, who is our producer and drummer, he's the beat and the arranger. It's a very much team effort. I believe in teamwork.
I'd say it was a very happy experience, Pauline, was it, recording this album?
It's brilliant and it's so exciting to get on the plane. And we made it in London and before all this madness, and to get on the plane and to be far from home and to be going to different places and eating nice food and having a glass of wine in the evening. And it was an absolute joy to make. And it's really nice of John to always include me in bits and pieces.
Well, you know how brilliant she is.
I do. Yeah. That's the secret of success. Surround yourself with brilliant women.
John, you're going to leave us with another song from the album this morning. This one's called The Streets of Ballyfahan. Have I pronounced it correctly?
Yeah.
Tell me about it before we hear it.
Well, having discovered in my capacity as a song detective working for T.G. Cahir that all the great 1798 songs were written in 1898, for example, Boule Vogue, Kelly the Boy from Killan, and all those, I discovered the importance of a centenary. So I wrote a number of songs in 2016 about 1916, and this is one of them, about a suburb of Cork City called Ballyfihan, where all the streets, roads and avenues are all named after signatories of the 1916 Declaration of Independence. Pierce Road, Connolly Road, there's Joe Murphy Road, Kent Road, Clark Place. So they had a big centenary there, and I was brought along and I wrote a song for the Ballyfihan people.
So it's really appropriate actually for this Easter weekend, which is the 105th anniversary of the Rising. Before we go, do you still live in Cork, John?
I do. I live in Passage West, County Cork.
Do you love Cork?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're brought up that way.
And Cork loves him.
Have you ever lived anywhere other than Cork?
I was in Limerick for 2 years. I was in Dublin for about a year, and that's about it. But I wasn't long going back to Cork with my tail between my legs.
The real capital of the country, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, sure. So we have to say that.
Well, look, John and Pauline, it's been a real delight chatting to you on this Easter Sunday morning. Take it away with The Streets of Ballyfahan.
Brave man, he tried to set his people free. He understood that the blossom will fade, but in the springtime it will be remade and rise again and rise again and rise again. He was shot down in a cold prison yard. Someday we're brave men and we remember them around the streets of Ballyfihan, around the streets of Ballyfihan, around the streets of Ballyfihan, around the streets of Ballyfihan.
The Streets of Ballyfahan, performed for us this morning by John Spillane there with Pauline Scanlon. And 100 Snow White Horses by John's Lapwing Nation is out now. And you can get more information online at johnspillane.ie.